Hello and welcome back to Catching Up on Capitol Hill, a series in which we discuss the latest in tax legislation and in tax policy. I'm your host, John Gimigliano. Well, the election is now just days away, so soon we will have a lot more to say about the tax cliff of 2025. But until then, I thought we should get out an episode that can endure beyond the election, no matter what the outcome is. Our last episode on the Harris tax plan was, I know, a very long and a very dense one. So today, let's make this episode one that's maybe a little bit lighter, maybe a little bit more philosophic. This week, I want to ask just one simple question. That question, what is tax reform? Well, okay, maybe the question isn't so simple actually, but my colleagues, Jen Acuna and Dan Winnick, have agreed to take a shot at answering that question with me today. And who better, really, to answer that question than the two central players in developing the two most comprehensive pieces of tax legislation in recent years, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and the Build Back Better Act. Dan, Jen, welcome. Okay, Dan, I'm going to ask you the first question as we talk about tax reform, what it is, what it is not. Is there any sort of accepted definition somewhere? If you were to look it up in the dictionary, we can find this is what tax reform is. Is there anything like that?
Tax reform is in the eye of the beholder. But in many cases in the past, tax reform has been used to describe legislation where some tax preferences or tax expenditures have been repealed to pay for lower rates or some other broader-based lower taxation. So that combination of changing a tax preference that people might like with lowering taxes in some other way and all sort of within the tax system. That was an indicator of tax reform when that term was used in 1986. And that kind of paying for it inside the tax system was also used in the conversation during the development of the Camp Bill in the mid-teens. So it's ultimately really a question of how people think about their own bill rather than a fixed definition.
Yeah, I feel like the 86 Act looms so large in this conversation when we talk about tax reform, even though it's so many years ago, that definition that you provided really was what 86 was all about, and we still think of it in that way. But I heard you then say, Dan, it has to be something more than enacting stuff I like. You might think that's good, but we're saying that that in itself is not just reform.
That's right. Tax reform has to mean something more than just a tax bill that I like.
Yeah. I think we're in agreement there. Okay. All right, Jen, let's go to you because you were so heavily involved in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, really, of course, in the Senate, but even its origins in the House. Back in 2017, how did you think about that legislation as tax reform and specifically broader goals of what the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was trying to be?
It's interesting because the TCJA really came out of many years of work on tax reform as defined by staff. And by members, there was a desire to reduce the corporate rate, broaden the corporate base in order to pay for some of that corporate rate decrease. And there was also an attempt to really significantly change the mechanics of the individual tax system. And even in the international system, right, we went from a worldwide system on an international to a territorial system. So there were significant changes in not just tax provisions, but in the mechanics of taxation.
It sounds like from the beginning, you had, at least as a goal, we could debate forever, was it really, quote, reform? Because as Dan said, it's in the eye of the beholder. But it's fair to say from the beginning, the objective was to produce a bill that, at least in your mind, was a reforming the system, right?
Absolutely. If you look at some of the provisions and some of the Hill documentation that was released prior to the release of the TCJA, the House Ways and Means Committee released a blueprint on tax reform. It was really marketed as a tax reform package, at least from the starting point. Legislative packages change, they morph over the time, but Ways and Means Camp tax reform drafts, that was the theme to have a fundamental tax reform in the United States. And that TCJA just happened to be the vehicle that was utilized to move components of that larger vision.
Okay, so Jen, you sort of talked about the TCJA as this massive bill trying to touch all corners of the tax code, achieve particular policy outcomes. So Dan, you were centrally involved in developing Build Back Better, which in itself was a massive sprawling piece of legislation touching every corner of the tax code, more or less. Did you, at the time of Build Back Better, were you thinking about it as tax reform? And was that an objective in the way that Jen just described it as the TCJA?
So the bill that eventually became the Inflation Reduction Act, when I worked on it, it was called the Build Back Better Act, was, as you said, a sprawling piece of legislation that touched on many elements of federal fiscal and spending policy. And so it was an effort to do things like expand adoption of clean energy, expand tax credits for families so that there would be more money for families with young children, families with working parents needed child care, changes to Medicare drug negotiation, all these policy elements. And so, yes, we needed pay-fors. And when we were looking for pay-fors, we considered elements of tax reform, elements to broaden the base so that we could raise money without raising the rates. But tax reform wasn't really what the members were singularly focused on. They were focused on their policy priorities. And to the extent there was tax reform or tax reform elements involved, those were playing second fiddle as the pay-for. And so this goes back to how tax reform is a little bit in the eye of the beholder. You could have a policy in a tax reform bill, it could appear as a pay-for in another bill, and they could be similar base broadeners. And it's really, in a way, how they're being used that defines whether or not tax reform is the top-line message.
Let me ask a question. TCJA, Republicans are out there calling it tax reform from the get-go. Build Back Better, important piece of legislation achieving a number of policy goals, but Democrats were not calling it tax reform. Do you think it's as simple as Republicans embracing the mythology and the legend of tax reform and Ronald Reagan, and like that in itself is a goal, versus Democrats talked about healthcare reform as a major priority, right? That was the Affordable Care Act, but not having that same mythology around taxes that Republicans have. And is that maybe one reason why Republicans think of tax reform as an end in itself and Democrats as a means to an end?
Well, that's a complicated question, one that in my view changes over time. In the time that I was on the Hill, the members I was working for were much more focused on some of their policy. So in the nature of spending priorities, whether that spending was through the tax code or through appropriations. And so tax reform wasn't the main focus. But for example, there were also a number of members and certainly the presidential administration that were very focused on adopting the OECD system of Pillar 1 and Pillar 2 and adopting the globe rules into U.S. law. And that was kind of a tax reform proposal. So I don't want to say it's not important to any Democrats, but it wasn't the main thing we were focused on when I was working there.
Fair point. Fair point. Okay. The question that I suspect many of our listeners came to hear, right? Let's look forward to 2025, the tax cliff. Jen, I'm going to ask you this question. Based upon what we know about the tax cliff today, which candidly, not a whole lot. We've got some proposals from Trump. We've got some proposals from Harris. We're going to know who wins the election, hopefully, very soon. But based upon what we know today about the tax cliff, do you think by the time we're at this point next year, that we're going to be talking about that process, about dealing with the tax cliff as tax reform?
I do not think so. In the lead up to 2017, there was bipartisan agreement. And for many years, there had been bipartisan hearings, bipartisan drafts in the Senate, working groups, because there was a general acknowledgement that at least our corporate system and our corporate rate, that it was broken. It was just not competitive. The individual system was extremely complex. There was just a different effort. Tax cliff is really trying to avoid a cliff, where you have all these individual provisions expiring, and it's really trying to tamp down the bleed. I think of it more as a extenders package, frankly, with the potential opportunity for new policy to be included.
If in the end, the exercise is simply changing dates, either to extend them or to make them permanent, you're saying that in itself, not tax reform.
That is not tax reform. I don't think that anyone is approaching it. And maybe some, but I don't think the consensus is that this is a tax reform exercise.
Yeah.
I think that context is very important, Jen. Leading up to TCJA, during the Obama administration, there was pretty broad consensus that on the one hand, the corporate rate was higher than would be ideal, and on the other hand, that it was possible to achieve negative tax rates in certain circumstances on foreign income. And there was bipartisan interest in addressing that point, and that eventually was dealt with to a great extent in TCJA. And so it was coming out of these conversations that were, to a great extent, bipartisan conversations about tax reform. Here, going into 2025, we're dealing with a cliff of expirations that, in my mind, is more like what we saw in 2010 or 2012, but on a much larger scale. And those conversations were not focused on tax reform as such.
Well, let me ask you one last question then, Dan. So you and Jen seem to be in agreement on this point. What would it take then in 2025 for you to then say, well, you know what, this is tax reform. What would have to happen? What kind of policies are we talking about that are reasonably plausible within the context of the tax cliff that could happen to make this tax reform?
The conversation would have to start where members were looking for tax reform, and staffers and the presidential administration were really talking about changing the structure of the tax code. And that would be the first indicator that we're dealing with tax reform. I don't think tax reform just pops up out of nothing. There needs to be some idea of what the base changes are going to look like. So that isn't the conversation we've been having yet. It doesn't mean it's not a conversation that we could have next year.
So I guess that means we have to wait till next year. Of course, there's an election looming here. That'll give us a lot more information on the direction of the negotiations, we suspect. But until we get well into that to figure out what are the policy goals of Congress, it's really hard to answer that question today, which is, will the tax cliff get us to tax reform? Okay, well, maybe we've said enough about this topic for today. Dan and Jen, thank you. And maybe once the 2025 process gets underway, we can revisit this. But in closing, let's just say this. Whether something is or is not tax reform, it's sort of a pointless debate. For example, we said today that simply extending current law isn't really reform. But consider this. Providing policy stability and policy longevity is really a desirable goal of any tax system. So turning temporary policy into permanent tax policy, well, that's a form of tax reform in and of itself, what we said earlier notwithstanding. So as Dan said, the term tax reform, well, first of all, it's very personal, but it also has to mean something more than stuff I like. And if you're being fair, there might be policies that you dislike that you might agree are reform. And there might be policies that you like a lot that you would agree are not reform. So how about we adopt a simple policy on what we call or do not call tax reform? If the policymakers developing the policy call it reform, well, then so should we. And if they do not call it reform, well, then who are we to say that it is? Yes, I know it's not a perfect approach to the question, but maybe, like good tax policy, it's easily understood and easily applied. And maybe that's good enough. With that, thanks again for tuning in to Catching Up on Capitol Hill. I promise we'll be back soon with our thoughts on the election. Until then, take care. Oh, and vote.